The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend-geneer, which means friend and engineer slash producer, Bob Dio. Bob does such a great job for us here on the Buckmaster Show, and we do welcome you to the program. It's Thursday, April the 11th, 2019. Hope the week has gone very well for you and you're looking forward to a great weekend. You're listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, also kvoi.com. All of our podcasts are available, make it very easy for you to hear any of the Buckmaster programs on your schedule at buckmastershow.com. Have all sorts of information up there, including at least 25 different regular contributors to this program, all of their bios. Our live line number 790-2040, if you'd like to join in the conversation. We have with us Pima County Board of Supervisors Chairman Richard Ali. Supervisor Elias, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Bill. It's always a pleasure to be here with you all at 10:30.
Thank you
and,
very much.
Especially with you today.
Thank you very much. I understand you just came from grand opening of the what used to be the Marist College downtown. And what has been done down there is really nothing short of a great renovation and restoration project.
Absolutely amazing, Bill. It includes the restoration of the old Marist College, which is the only three-story adobe left here in Arizona, and a brand new building, a mid-rise seven-story building, all of it affordable housing for seniors in downtown Tucson, 83 units. Great job by FSL and the diocese and all the partners who worked on it so hard.
You know, at one time, and you are a native, and your family's been here actually going back to Presidio days, so you will know this, that when we were in that urban renewal area of the 1960s, at one time, Tucson had more of the adobe architecture than any other city, even better areas than Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Actually, you're correct. And even a larger area than San Agustin, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So we would have had the largest collection of Spanish colonial architecture. And this doesn't really make up for the sins of the past, but the restoration of the Marist College, the project across the street with the gazebo and with the additional historic buildings that they're saving, and the refurbishing of the Pima County Courthouse, what you have is Tucson focusing on historic preservation along with the new market rate, affordable housing, and a historical building for the public to be able to use. All of them great projects.
What was the feeling, as you recall, around the Tucson Convention Center before it was the convention center, and all that area was leveled, was bladed? What was this place like?
Oh, it was a friendly neighborhood. It was a real community of people who enjoyed the life that they led, and these were their homes, and it was cherished. It was old. And mm-hmm. certainly parts of it were in disrepair, but really it was a strong, vibrant community and should be remembered that way.
We're speaking with Pima County Supervisor Chairman Richard Elias. You're on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. I'm Bill Buckmaster. The Pima County Sheriff's Department, Sheriff Napier, went before the Pima County Law Enforcement Partnership Commission. I believe the acronym is CLEPSI. Is that right?
That's correct, Bill.
Supervisor Elias, CLEPSI. Sheriff Napier strongly recommended to the commission that the commission give their stamp of approval to the Stone Garden grant. This grant would be over $1 million, support collaboration between the federal border patrol agents and local law enforcement, and would provide funds for approved immigration operations and related equipment. The vote was 6-4, so the recommendation is against reauthorization for Stone Garden. Some of your thoughts, and the sheriff was involved in a really heated debate at this commission meeting on Monday, and he believes that rejecting this money or a recommendation of a rejection of this money does nothing, and he reiterates, nothing positive for Pima County.
Well, I'm sorry that he feels that way. I recognize that he has very strong feelings about the matter, and that he's got a lot of associates over there in Washington amongst the CBP and Customs folks. But in reality, what we see is the Department of Homeland Security in chaos with acting secretary, an acting undersecretary, the head of the Secret Service was terminated as well, all related to border issues. So what we have is chaos amongst the federal officials in charge of securing our border. And I just don't think now is a good time for us to be associated with that. Our sheriff deputies need to be focused on protecting the citizens of Pima County.
In fact, the chair of CLEPSI, Kristen Randall, said that these are Pima County sheriff's deputies. They work for Pima County. They should not be doing the job of the federal border patrol agents.
I think she's absolutely right. And we have to be very careful about that separation of power between local law enforcement and border patrol and customs. These are the borderlands where we've lived together for centuries. And just the notion of suggestions of closing down the border and the regeneration of the family separation policy should all give us pause to think about what is really a very bad set of immigration policies in place right now.
Generally, do you think CLEPSI, this Pima County Law Enforcement Partnership Commission, is a good idea, Supervisor Elias? And I believe, is it two members are appointed from each of the five districts? Is that is, or is it three?
I believe
members?
It's three.
Okay, three. Do you think generally the idea is a good one?
I'm always in favor of public dialogue and citizens committees bringing forth their opinion to help advise the Board of Supervisors on important decisions. This is no different than any other. CLEPSI is important. I think eventually we're going to need to have a law enforcement review panel that would provide a citizen review of all the sheriff's activities. These are things that every other community in America has. This isn't hard to do. These are not evil people. They are people who care about our community from very different perspectives. That's how we learn. That's how we develop good policy.
The supervisors will be asked in the upcoming budget sessions, which are really now less than a month away, or about a month away, aren't they, Supervisor?
Yes, it's coming up on us real quick.
Yes, so the Pima County Preschool Investment Plan is something that will be before the supervisors, and they will be asked to approve this. This is for early childhood education. Whether it will be approved, that's another matter. But you are, as far as District 5 is concerned, you're all on board with this.
Well, it's a proposition that we all need to consider very seriously, and I think it's a pathway to reducing poverty in our community, improving education. This is long-term economic development. This is not about low-hanging fruit. It is a difficult decision, but the communities that have made this decision across America are seeing that the data that's created from it shows great improvement among student achievement, especially in lower-income households. I think it's a no-brainer in all truth.
When do you think this might come up?
Oh, I think it'll be a part of the budget discussion in general. So this will be coming up in May at a budget hearing, I believe it's on the 13th, and then final adoption, which is probably at the second meeting in June.
Coming up on 14 minutes past noon on Buckmaster, 790-2040. If there's something the supervisor said that you don't agree with, we'd love to hear from you, 790-2040. If there's something that he has said that resonates with you that you do agree, that's great too. 1030, The Voice. Trusted local news and talk. But now it's time to talk about one of my favorite places, and that's Mona's Danish Bakery. Supervisor Elias knows I love Mona's and that Danish Kringle. Bakery goods. I've always loved bakery goods. There's no.
Yeah, but that Kringle is really special.
It is special.
I had some last time.
It's just, you had a taste of it here when Steve, the chief baker and owner, was kind enough to actually, over a 2-day period, we had two Kringles here. And I think the second day, the Kringle went in about 10 minutes. So that went fast. The good news is we've got, not only is the Kringle good news, but we've got a hot breakfast coming up. I heard from Steve yesterday. He says all the permitting from Pima County now looks like it's been completed. There's going to be a final inspection of his newly installed grill, so they'll be able to do the hot breakfast starting at 6:30 each morning. So we're looking forward to that. Should be up and running within a couple of days. And of course, whenever you make a big change like this, you do have to get all the proper permits and everything. So they're about ready to go at Mona's Danish Bakery with breakfast. But I'll tell you right now, they're ready to go. If you're up near the corner, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, stop by, have a great sandwich. The breads, wide variety of choices of breads that came out of the oven just a couple of hours ago. Mona'sDanishBakery.com. And of course, there's a link at BuckmasterShow.com, not only a link to Mona's, but there are links to about 20, maybe two dozen partners, Supervisor Elias. Many of them are legacy partners who have believed in the work we do here in the community and have been with us, Supervisor Elias, since the first week of January when we launched, January of 2011, when we launched the radio project after our 22 years on TV.
Well, that gives you a good idea how much support and respect you've earned in the community, Bill, as a Hall of Fame broadcaster. But I'd like to go over that list with you maybe next week for breakfast over there at Mona's.
Yes.
Sounds like a plan to me.
It does. Perhaps you might want to have an informal staff meeting up there.
Well, I'm sure some of my staff would be very willing.
You have two of the staffers with us. And Bob Dio, my wonderful engineer producer, just raised his hand and said that he would be happy to curate the session. He would moderate the session and have a beautiful Danish Kringle. And I understand Steve's got all sorts of great plans. They're going to do omelets, pancakes, waffles. Yeah, everything that the grill, that they'll be doing the grill. So we'll see how all of it turns out. 12:17 on the Buckmaster Show. More with Supervisor Elias right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
There's still time this year for you to donate your 2018 charitable tax credit qualifying dollars to a local charity and claim a dollar-for-dollar credit towards your Arizona state taxes. The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 40 local charities, encourages you to direct a portion of your state tax dollars to work in our community for causes that you wish to support. It's easy to donate online and feel good at GiveLocalKeepLocal.org. That's GiveLocalKeepLocal.org.
For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 Ocean and Beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It's Buckmaster on 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias, who is also the chair of the board, is with me in studio. We are taking calls at 790-2040, and David has called us. David, how are you?
Yes, fine. I will support your reelection because the big issue is the Stone Garden issue is a small issue. The big issue is Chris Timone has thrown all kinds of mud at you and Bronson and Valadez about, you know, rejecting the Stone Guard funding and spending money on other things. But the big issue is people who are going to run against and defeat you will be the same kind of people running Marana. Once they take over Pima County, they may promise they'll fix our roads and lower our taxes. They may do that in the short term, but they'll start rezoning like crazy for more and more of this cookie-cutter development, just like Marana is. In a few years, our landscape's going to be plastered with cookie-cutter housing developments from here to A to Z, and our taxes are going to go through the roof to pay for it.
Okay, thank you very much. David, calling in, Supervisor Elias, sounds like if he was in District 5, he would be definitely a vote for Richard Elias.
Well, I certainly appreciate that, David. And you're right. I think continuing on with the principles of the Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan and the land conservation system helps protect our infrastructure and helps protect the biological areas that are important to us in terms of riparian areas and animal corridors. And so you're right on. And they cost us money when we don't take good care of them.
David called us at 790-2040. John has used the same number, the live line number, and he would like to go on the air and he would like to speak in support, which is fine, of Rose Garden, because all opinions are welcome here on the Buckmaster Show. John, it's your turn.
Yeah, I think it's Stone Garden, not Rose Garden.
Excuse me. I was thinking of Rosemont, which is in front of me, and one of the issues I wanted to talk about. Sorry, go ahead.
And it in no way ties us to Border Patrol. We have a long county that borders Mexico, and it provides support for our police and law enforcement officers who patrol that area and help save lives. It does not tie us to that. It just helps us do our job that they were, their job that they were hired to do.
Okay, John, here is the reaction from Richard Elias.
John, I appreciate your call and understand your concern about safety and border security. However, when our officers are deployed on Stone Garden-related matters, they are under the direct supervision and control of the Border Patrol. So it does, in fact, do that.
No, I want to bring up the Rosemont issue, the planned Rosemont mine. According to Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry, who wrote a very detailed memo to you, Supervisor Elias, and all of and the four fellow board members, and basically saying that there would be significant impacts on our area, not only on animals and plants in the Santa Rita Mountains, but also the water in our area if this project goes forward.
Absolutely. So it's critical that the lawsuits that are being filed, both by the tribes and by Save the Scenic Santa Ritas, are supported. Likely the board will move in that direction at our first meeting in May. But this is all about our water. And our water source is at risk because of Rosemont, and we all have to recognize that and think about our future and our children's future. So it is a critical issue for us once again. I would also note that the changes to the Clean Water Act that are being proposed right now also head right in that same direction, offering no protection to ephemeral rivers like the Santa Cruz. So you lop that on top of the approval for Rosemont, and what you're really creating is a prescription for problems with discharges into the river and protecting the water supply for almost a million people.
The Rosemont issue first surfaced, I believe, in 2007. At the time, the community, there had been some polling. The community was kind of had sort of a mixed feeling about Rosemont. If there were a referendum today, how do you think the public would vote on Rosemont?
I think people would be very opposed to Rosemont at this point because we've had enough discussion, we've had enough empirical data, and we've seen decisions made that seem to match that data all of a sudden change. I don't know if that's for political reasons or what, but we have to find out what is the nature of those changes and how the ball moved, because we need to think of our future. We need to think of our water. We need to think of our air. And all of that is put at risk by the Rosemont mine.
One other issue that I want you to address here in the remaining minute or so is this new process that will keep those with minor charges out of the Pima County Jail. Some of your thoughts.
Well, I think it's a really good move. And we found great success with that in reducing the number of juveniles that are in detention as well about 10, 12 years ago. So when an arresting officer takes a prisoner or takes an arrestee to the Pima County Jail, it's time to stop and analyze whether this person needs to be in Pima County Jail, where you have a bad experience, and ultimately learn how to become a better crook. There are alternatives to this. We can keep you at home with your family. We can keep you employed. We can keep you being a productive member while you're still paying the consequences for whatever kind of crimes you might have committed along the way.
People accused of misdemeanors, those who have mental health or drug issues, as well as other factors that could affect the likelihood that they will show up for future court proceedings, will be screened at a pre-booking center outside the jail. So this is going to be a vetting process outside the jail before these people even get in the jail.
Absolutely critical. And I got to tell you, it does work.
All right. Richard Elias, thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
Bill, it's always great time to come down here to 10:30 and be with you all, and we certainly enjoy all the staff you have here.
I want to talk a little bit, Supervisor Elias, about a beautiful area of the southwestern United States, and in particular, the southwest corner of the Land of Enchantment. This is Grant County, New Mexico, and Silver City. I know you've been over in that area. You love that area very much.
The Gila Wilderness area, all of that region, Silver City and the communities that surround it, such nice people, such beautiful natural resources, a great place to spend a few days relaxing and getting away from southern Arizona. It's also a little cooler there.
Yeah, but elevation's about a mile high, 5,000 to 7,000 feet. And here's the good news, just a three-hour drive. It's an easy drive, really.
Easy drive, really.
And I-10 east to Lordsburg, take a left, and you're up there in about 40 minutes after the turnoff.
And I've never met an enchilada in Grant County that I didn't like.
The three-member board of the Grant County Supervisors, thank you very much. All right, southwestnewmexico.org for the listing of the great places to stay. Some great restaurant opportunities as well as recreational things. Lots of things to do over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We are just a few seconds shy of exactly 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show. Be right back with Dan Janes. Dan is the CEO of Madden Media, and they're doing all sorts of wonderful things in our community. We'll speak with Dan after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 ocean and beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and it's time for our CEO interview series on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Our interview series is presented by Sun Corridor, Inc., a transformative economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing major business centers in North America. Sun Corridor, Inc. is a CEO-driven regional alliance whose members aggressively champion mega regional issues that impact economic competitiveness and quality of life. The organization has helped to drive significant business investment into the Tucson and Southern Arizona region through primarily job creation that results in an economic impact of $24.8 billion, with 162 company locates and expansions supporting nearly 48,000 jobs. For more information, visit suncorridorinc.com. Joining me on our CEO interview series is a gentleman who is a big supporter of Sun Corridor, Dan Janes, the CEO of Madden Media. Dan has a very impressive background. He's a West Point graduate, former Army officer who led operations in Afghanistan and Iraq. He's built a successful big data and analytics startup company. He grew new technology offerings in a publicly traded company. And since moving to Tucson in 2012, I recall, right, Dan? He's actively sought to grow companies in Arizona as a board member of Desert Angels, which does so much here in town to help investments and launch new startup companies. Dan, thanks for being on the program.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
You know, the Madden Media has been around a long time, and the footprint is very impressive. These are local people who put out an outstanding product, and you really have been growing the company over the past 35 years. Give us a little bit about the footprint.
Yeah, well, the company is, like you said, over 35 years. Kevin and Jill started the company just as Tucson Guide, which most people in town know Madden Media as, and then grew it from Tucson Guide and helping restaurants connect with travelers and getting into the hotels, and created Valley Guide. And eventually we've continued to grow and expand as we've looked at partners in different destinations to build out visitor guides throughout the country. And today, when we look across the country, we're 100 people strong that are doing 95% of our work, helping support destinations throughout the rest of the country, drive traffic and travelers to destinations.
And I looked at your website. You've got a lot of job openings. And Zach Yenzer, who his program from 10 to noon here on the program, he's a fine young host. So I was talking about keeping young talent, Dan, in Tucson. Well, this is a great opportunity for those that want or that have a communications background to stay in Tucson. These are good jobs.
Yeah, these are great jobs. And what I think is really important is it's not just communications and marketing. We have 40 graduates of the University of Arizona that have everything from website development, software engineering skills, to marketing degrees, to communications. I think we even have a couple of fine arts majors that are out there as well that all come together, and you know, they know how to communicate and then apply that ability to communicate to new technology and channels across the marketing medium.
And the marketing business has changed so much. So much of the work you do is digital, correct, Dan?
Absolutely. It's about easily two-thirds of the work that we do is digital, because the world has fundamentally changed. And you know, and back in the day, you used to talk about a print publication or looking for a newspaper or looking for a magazine, and you know, that was the center of the universe. And then the center of the universe became somebody's website, and then you know, everything had to be hung off the website. But today, when you think about how travelers think about planning or how consumers operate in that their journey and what they're looking for, they start with search. And you know, they start looking for answers. And our goal is to invoke some of that curiosity and bring the answers so they want to get, move from what they think they know to what they need to know about destinations across the country.
You have firsthand knowledge comparing Tucson to other communities because you're working with other communities, looking at their tourism and perhaps their downtown development. How do we compare right now in Tucson?
Well, I'll tell you, the team at Visit Tucson and, you know, what Brent Drott has led with his team to do has been nothing short of fantastic compared to other locations throughout the country. And I think he's seen like 13% growth. We've seen support of $2.3 billion of revenue coming in from visitors into Tucson, which is really important because it supports almost 26,000 jobs here in Tucson that Visit Tucson supports and that industry supports. When I think about how does Visit Tucson compare to other destinations, what his team's really figured out how to do that's made it and separated it from the rest has been the ability to not just be who we have been. And if you look back in the past, you might see, you know, it's all about golfing or all about resorts. Now it's very much about it's a foodie destination and it's a destination meant for a broader audience. Mm-hmm. And he's done a great job repositioning it for that active outdoor lifestyle, cyclists, biking, hiking, and whatnot that's there. So really impressive what they've done. And then took it the next level to work with the Chamber of Commerce and then work with Sun Corridor, because destinations that think about just visitation and just business growth and then just business attraction, they don't do as well as those that have that like collective model. And you'll even see Amber Smith talking about collective impact, about how they're all working together, because visitors are just lead generation for a community to get somebody to live there and work there. And if there's a good workforce, then there's going to be good businesses that want to come take advantage of that workforce.
Yeah, I think the term is collective impact, and I think it's very important you bring up Amber over at the Tucson Metro Chamber. She's really big on this collective impact, and I think there's something to that. You really have to have all the pieces in place to be a destination that's going to attract a wide variety of people who are interested not just in golfing or in resorts, but the many attractions now that we have to offer.
Yeah, and I think the new destination the tourism master plan is starting to look more at how we build more of those destinations that are out there and more of those features. But you look at other things that are going on in the community, like 10 West, and one of the co-directors who's at the University of Arizona, Rick Engvy, really talks about collective impact as well and how you bring together these different groups to create a collective vision and really just invest in the community as we position ourselves as leaders here.
And we talked about the openings. Dan Janes, CEO of Madden Media, with us, talked about the openings that you have at your company. What is the quality of workforce? Have you really found some great people in this community that obviously could go other places, big cities, San Francisco, Chicago, New York, but they've chosen to stay here because they do like the lifestyle?
Well, the workforce here and the talent that we have at Madden Media is absolutely amazing. I feel like every time we think that we found the last good person that's out in the market, we find five more every time we go out and do interviews for people. So the quality of the workforce for companies that are looking at Tucson is absolutely of the highest caliber. And we also get something that all those other places don't have. When I go to New York or Chicago or, you know, even Phoenix, it's a different environment than when you come to Tucson. Our culture is different, and we have that group of artists and storytellers and engineers and technologists that create that artistry and that fabric that makes us much more unique than, you know, what you get off the shelf in those large cities, rather.
I'm very much an eclectic person. I think that's why I like Tucson and have made this my home for over 30 years. It's a very eclectic city. There are people here that have interests in so many things. And it's just, is that kind of what brought you to Tucson? You've got such an interesting background with your Army work, and then you came to the University of Arizona. What attracted you initially, Dan, to this area?
Well, what definitely attracted me was having lived in Lake Havasu City for 5 years, and I was down at Fort Huachuca.
Had a taste of the desert then.
Yeah. I did have a taste of the desert. I also married my wife, who was from Yuma, okay. And we didn't make it quite as far as Yuma, but I definitely was not heading all the way to San Diego, and Tucson was a place we loved when we were here, and we continue to love it. And when we look at what the town was 10 years ago when we met, it's just so much better and so much more exciting now than it was then.
What's your website in case we have some listeners who would like to check out some of those job opportunities?
It's maddenmedia.com.
It's maddenmedia.com. Dan Janes, very much enjoyed talking with you. Thank you, Dan.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
And you're a big supporter of Sun Corridor, aren't you?
Very much. It's a great organization. Joe and his team are doing a fantastic job.
Our CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Sun Corridor. Visit suncorridorinc.com for more information. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:45.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
There's still time this year for you to donate your 2018 charitable tax credit qualifying dollars to a local charity and claim a dollar-for-dollar credit towards your Arizona state taxes. The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 40 local charities, encourages you to direct a portion of your state tax dollars to work in our community for causes that you wish to support. It's easy to donate online and feel good at givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Really nice 13-acre site. Great place to get all your plants, spring gardening time. Now they're home also to Zocalo, all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Tour the five shops at Zocalo Village as part of Green Things. So it's a great destination, great place to not only get all your plants. I love to do gardening out in the backyard. Most, I'd say I've got about 24 rose plants. All have come from Green Things, and I'm getting some really good blooms that are just Jeff Silvertooth, this must be the beginning of the rose season because I'm getting some good blooms now.
Yeah, that is. We have, you know, in Arizona, Tucson, we have several little seasons for roses. And I've noticed, not being a rose expert, but enjoy them, I've noticed the same thing. Their cycle's coming in right now.
The cycle is coming in, and we got out all the vases yesterday because suddenly I had about a dozen beautiful blooms in my garden. So I've got some beautiful roses now. GreenThingsAZ.com is the website. Dr. Jeff Silvertooth is with us in studio. We're so honored to have Dr. Silvertooth is now... He's part of the team. He's one of more than two dozen contributors to the Buckmaster Show. His area of expertise is agriculture, and you can see his bio at buckmastershow.com. Jeff is the Associate Dean of the U of A College of Agriculture, and he's the Director of the UA Cooperative Extension. Good to see you again, Jeff.
Likewise. Nice to be here, Bill.
Give me the bottom line again about what a cooperative extension is.
Glad to do so. Cooperative extension is always a element, a component of land-grant institutions, usually associated, at least originally, with colleges of agriculture and life sciences. But every land-grant university has this extension component associated with resident instruction and research as three mission cores. The extension mission is to take the university, essentially take the university to the people of the state and bring science to bear on practical problems. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that's a distinguishing factor of a university like the University of Arizona, which is a land-grant institution for the state of Arizona. There's one in every state, which is originally designed by the Morrill Act, 1862.
Really?
Yeah, signed by Abraham Lincoln in June of 1862.
And it was called the Morrill Act?
The Morrill Act. And that put land-grant institutions into place in every state and territory.
Huh.
And that was followed up with the Hatch Act in 1887, which created an experiment station. Uh-huh. And then extension was already happening, but it became formalized in 1914 with the Smith-Lever Act. Huh. And the cooperative part is associated with the federal mm-hmm. mandate or allocation to do so. The second part is with the state, so it's a partnership with the state through the state land-grant institution, like the University of Arizona. And the third part, in a cooperative arrangement, is with the individual counties. Mm-hmm. So that's an interesting part of the mm-hmm. system, uh-huh. is that we have a base on the campus, and mm-hmm. then we have offices in every county in the state, sometimes several offices in every county.
In each county of Arizona?
Yes, sir, every county, and several Indian reservations as well.
And you said there's like a land-grant school even in some of the territories like...
Yeah, Guam, for example.
Virgin Islands.
Right, Guam does. That's one in the western region. Oh. But every state in the United States has a land-grant institution.
Wow. One area that's been very hard hit is the Yuma lettuce growers. And I want to talk, Jeff Silvertooth, about long-term fallout on the agriculture business. When you have one of these really big nationwide recall and quite frankly, a lot of publicity and it's bad publicity, first of all, how are they faring after that big recall, the Yuma lettuce growers?
Well, they're hanging in there right now. But, of course, there has been a lot of adjustments, and rightfully so. But it has a huge impact. You can just think about it, Bill. You have thousands of cartons of lettuce coming out of the area every week. I mean, there's a truck leaving every few minutes out of there from November to December through March every year.
And this happened right at that peak time.
Well, sir, it actually happened at the later part. Finishes up in Yuma in the lower Colorado River Valley about February, March, they're pretty much out of the field.
Okay.
The E. coli outbreak last year took place in about this time last year, April, early mid-April. So it was the last produce that was coming out of that valley. They were able to trace it back, and it did come out of the Yuma area, not just the Yuma Valley, but the Yuma area, and Imperial Valley, I think, a little bit. But what they've had to do, it's huge. Just you think about it, a few servings of contaminated lettuce impacts a multi-billion dollar industry. Uh-huh. And Something similar to this happened in 2006, unfortunately. I think there was an E. coli or salmonella outbreak out of the Salinas Valley, which is where this industry goes, by the way. When they finish up in Yuma, the lower Colorado River Valley, they pick up and move to the Huron Valley and the northern San Joaquin, then to the Salinas. So in the summertime, that same industry is in the Salinas Valley.
Over in Monterey County.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And west on the coast of California.
Uh-huh.
And then they move back to Yuma in the fall and produce in Yuma, lower Colorado River, from about, they come in there in August, but the production begins to take place about October, you know, produce is harvesting, from October to March. So every step of the production chain is having to be scrutinized seriously, and new things are being added to increase safety, to improve safety. And
like what? What can they do?
Well, for one thing, they're looking at right now, one of the big pieces of scrutiny, two big parts has come into play. And we have folks in our organization, two people that have been, thankfully, they're ready to go, well-prepared, good science background, good education base, good relationships in the community. That's Dr. Paula Rock, a water quality specialist, and Dr. Paula Rivadeneira, who's a food safety specialist working out in Yuma. And they were able to work with CDC, Center for Disease Control, and FDA to try to address where could this be coming from. And they've been focusing on two major areas right now. Of course, everything's under scrutiny.
Sure. But
one's water quality.
Okay.
You know, treating water that goes into the field in all aspects.
Right.
Irrigation water as well as water that's put on a plant to protect it from a fungus. Also, too, the location and proximity of concentrated animal feeding operations. Making sure, because all E. coli comes from animals.
Animals
we have.
I didn't think of that. Yeah, you have to be close to an animal source.
Well, It can be, but you also think about it. Birds can fly over fields.
Sure.
Mice, rats, dogs, javelinas, deer.
So did Jeff Silvertooth, did they get close to figuring, pinpointing, I don't know, exact or very close to the location?
They know some of the points of origin, some of the fields. They know that. But the question that still is plaguing us is exactly where did it come from? What was exactly? They've identified the strain. They know pretty much where that strain comes from. It's a strain that comes primarily from cattle, from pigs and cattle. But, you know, I could get into the fields. There's no pigs and cattle in the fields or direct proximity. But how did it get from the animals into the field? And it could also have come from some other source. You know, for example, there's scouts in the field all the time. Walking those fields. And if they see an area where there's feces or any evidence of animal damage, birds, coyotes, whatever, they circle that off. And I think they were doing like five yards outside from a radius from that point.
Yeah.
They're extending that right now. And so you get a few spots in a field, they're pretty well take a field out of production right away. And now we're looking at water treatment. They haven't imposed that as far as a regulation yet, but there's a lot of folks are just doing it because they don't want this to happen.
What's the economic impact, Jeff?
Huge. You know, you think about it, Bill, I've been watching this, working around this industry since, you know, 87. And when the impact from the E. coli or salmonella outbreak took place in 2006, the level of increased scrutiny, daily scrutiny, increased, I mean, several fold. For example, we have a lot of students coming out of our agronomic science programs from the U of A. They've been employed as food safety specialists. Every company has food safety specialists in the field today that 20 years ago they didn't have. They had a few here and there, but they're in the field all the time, full time, every day. Increased scrutiny in the production, harvesting, handling, packing, shipping, as well as the way it's handled at the destination point in the stores. So everybody that touches the produce has a possibility of contaminating it. That's been tightened up incredibly.
Would you eat lettuce right now?
Absolutely.
You would?
I look forward to having some after we're done today.
Now, this was not head lettuce, correct?
Okay. Good point. Yeah. This was romaine.
Romaine.
And that's when there's been questions, why romaine? Why not iceberg lettuce, head lettuce? Why not baby leaf, et cetera, et cetera? Well, that's a good question. There's been several theories on that. We don't know for absolute sure, at least to my knowledge, Bill. Those our specialists may know. But I'm not aware. I try to keep track of this myself. But it's a mystery to some extent. We know a lot about it, but there's still a few spots we're trying to figure out.
Growers must have lost a ton of money.
Interesting what happens is that when consumers hear this, of course, it's natural. Everything was pulled off the shelves. It doesn't just hit the growers in the area where it was in question. It hits everybody. It goes across the entire industry. So, yes, there's some huge economic impact from that.
All right, Jeff Silvertooth, we'll look forward to your next visit. We may even pick up more on this because this is really a fascinating subject.
About the economic impact
of the lettuce situation over in Yuma County. Dr. Jeff Silvertooth, thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Bill.
Dr. Silvertooth is Associate Dean of the University of Arizona College of Agriculture and Life Science, correct?
Okay.
What is life science?
Life science is kind of where you look at the application of basic biology.
Oh, okay.
So it'd be genetics, could be microbiology, dealing with food systems, for example.
Okay. Dr. Silvertooth, also director of the UA Cooperative Extension. On behalf of Dr. Silvertooth, I'm Bill Buckmaster, and also on behalf of my great engineer producer, I like to call him a friend-engineer. He's not only our engineer, he's my friend, Bob Dio. We've got our sports show with Steve Rivera coming up, very popular show from 1 to 3. It's called Eye on the Ball. We hope you have a great afternoon and evening.